Parshas Beshalach. The famous story at the end of this week's parsha regarding Amalek. When the Torah writes that Klal Yisrael were concerned that they seemed not to have water, so they complained and they said, in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, they said, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im ayin. Does the Kodesh Baruch Hu exist in our midst or not? What are the next two words in the Torah? Vayovay Amalek. Upon which Amalek arrived on the scene. So we know how the story goes. Moshe Rabbeinu supported by Yeshua on one side. Aaron, Chor, Yeshua was fighting battle. Aaron and Chor were supporting his arms. And the Torah says the famous pasuk, Vahoya kasher yorim Moshe yodoy, when Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hands, V'govar Yisrael, Klal Yisrael were victorious. V'kasher yoniach yodoy, however, when he put his hands down, V'govar Amalek, then Amalek were in turn victorious. So we all know the Mishnah, the famous Mishnah, which has been made into an equally famous song. What does that mean? The hands of Moshe Rabbeinu, do they dictate the course of war? When he lifted up his hands, they were victorious. When he put his hands down, they were being defeated. So the Mishnah says, no, really, it was all being triggered by Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael looked heavenwards, then indeed they were winning the battle. But the Mefarshim say that ultimately it does say in the Pasuk that what was it that brought about a victory for Klal Yisrael? It was Kasher Yarim Moshe Yodoy, when Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hands. What does that mean? Were they magic hands? So the Mefarshim explain, one of the Mefarshim in the Gemara in the Masechta Rosh Hashanah Chof Tes Madal of the Yom Shua explains that lifting up one's hands is in fact an expression of tefillah. We read about this, we learned this in Parshas Va'era, when it says in Perek Tes, Pasuk Chof Tes, it says, Va'efreis es kapai, El Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I lifted up my hands to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it means he lifted them up in prayer. And we can all, I think, conjure up the image of somebody davening. We can all see the picture. You lift your hands up, and that represents the inyan of tefillah. So ultimately, what this means is that if we were to be asked the question, what was it that eventually brought about victory for Klal Yisrael? The answer seems to be one word: tefillah. Through the medium of tefillah, Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hands. As the Mishnah tells us, that was all triggered by the fact that Klal Yisrael were themselves looking heavenwards. Moshe Rabbeinu davens, and that way Amalek is vanquished and defeated. It perhaps doesn't need much explanation why it was that with the koyach of tefillah they defeated Amalek. At the end of the day, it is with the koyach of tefillah that everything that happens to us in life indeed occurs. So why would this be any different? But I think that together we will see, Be'ezah Hashem, that when it comes to Amalek, there is something indeed very specific to Amalek that will help us understand why it is the koyach of tefillah ultimately defeated Amalek. After all, we need to remember, Klal Yisrael were involved in many battles throughout the Torah, against Canaan and other nations. We don't find over there specifically the union of davening. So perhaps it's an assumption that we are allowed to make that there was tefillah, but it's only over here that it's clearly stated. Moshe Rabbeinu lifts up his hands, Ephraim says kapai, with koyach of tefillah. So it seemed to be that specifically with Amalek, ultimately the victory was guaranteed and secured through the medium and the koyach of tefillah. And that's what we would like to try and explain tonight. We see, just by introduction, By way of introduction, we see another important place that this seems to be the truth. We have various fasts in our calendar. Shavuos, B'Tammuz, Sarah B'Teves, Tisha B'Av. These fasts are, of course, all concerning the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. And essentially, the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash is still, of course, with us today. So it makes very good sense that we're still fasting today. This is not just history, it's current affairs. When we recall Tisha B'Av, what we're really commemorating and what we're bemoaning is the fact that we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash until this very day, Tovshin Ayin Tes. It's not just commemorating a historic event, it's very much current affairs. Today, now, we do not have a Beis HaMikdash. Indeed, what will be when the third Beis HaMikdash will be built, Meirav Yomeinu? Will we still be fasting? Shavuos B'Tammuz, Asara B'Teves, Tisha B'Av. So this is not my question. This is a question that was posed of the Novi Zechariah in Perek Ches, and it says, Koyamar Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the following, Tzoyim Horavi. What's Tzoyim Horavi? The fourth month of the year is Tammuz. The fast of the fourth. Tzoyim HaChamishi. What's the fifth month of the year? Av, Tisha B'Av. V'tzoyim HaShvi'i, the seventh month of the year of Tishri, Tzoyim Gedalia. And finally, V'tzoyim HaAsiri, the fast in the tenth month, which is Teves. All of those, what will happen, La'asid Lavoi, says the Navi, they will all be L'sosoin U'lasimcha, U'lamoyadim Tovim. There will be wonderful causes for celebration. There will no longer be days of sadness and days of mourning. Why would you mourn over a Beis HaMikdash if it's been rebuilt? So it all makes perfect sense. As long as we do not have a Beis HaMikdash, then we commemorate and relive its destruction. When the Beis HaMikdash will eventually be rebuilt, then there's no necessity to mourn. To the contrary, there'll be days of Sosan V'Simcha. So what's the big exception to this rule? How do we understand Tanis Esther? Tanis Esther was of a great historical importance, but it seems to really be different to all other fasts. What exactly are we commemorating? Something that's going on now? The Purim story happened then, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. So if we just said, as we see with regard to all the other fasts, that when the cause behind the fast no longer exists, then in turn the fast also doesn't exist. So why does Tanis Esther still exist? La'asid Lavoi, the four other Tanesim concerning the Beis HaMikdash will be abolished. So why is Tanis Esther still with us? So the truth of the matter is, if you look in the Rambam quite clearly tells us that indeed Tanis Esther is different to all other Tanisim. All the other Tanisim, says the Rambam, are mipnei hatzoris. They're all because of great tragedies that occurred at that time. But Tanis Esther is zecher l'ta'anis. We are recalling the fast. Whose fast? Esther's fast. That's why it's called Tanis Esther. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah quotes Eichaya Odom, where the Chaya Odom says that what happened on that fast, it wasn't just merely an inyan of fasting. When Esther said, "Knois skola Yehudim," all the Jews were gathered. They were gathered in a day of tefillah, and the Chaya Odom says they needed to be mevakesh rachamim v'tachanunim. They begged the Ribbono Shel Olam that he should help. Says the Chaya Odom in conclusion, therefore we have a fast also kedei lizkoir, also to recall and to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always remember us, however difficult the situation, if we only turn to Him in tefillah. So indeed, Tanis Esther is a fast very different in nature to all the other tzemes. The others are re-commemorating and reliving the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, whereas Tanis Esther once again, we see the connection between Amalek and Tfilah. Because of course Tanis Esther is the day before Purim, which is a celebration of the defeat of Amalek. And that is preceded by a day of tefillah. And as the Chaya Odom tells us, that is really the whole purpose of the day. The purpose of the day is not to fast. The fasting is the trigger. The fasting is the medium by which we come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we turn to Him in tefillah. So we see, both in our parasha, when Klal Yisrael defeats Amalek first time round, how is that done? Moshe Rabbeinu lifts up his hands to Shomayim, Kashi Yorim, Moshe Yodo, he lifts up his hands with the koyach of tefillah. So too, second time round as well. How is Haman vanquished? How is Haman, the descendant of Amalek, defeated? Once again, with a preceding day of tefillah. So that obviously can't be a coincidence. We see history exactly repeating itself. Same enemy, same mechanism of victory. In both cases, there was a koyach of tefillah which ultimately brought about the downfall of Amalek. And therefore we certainly need to explain why is it that the koyach of tefillah indeed seems to be the antidote to Amalek. Whereas all the other battles that Klal Yisrael were involved in, we don't find specifically, at least in the Psukim, that there was a koyach of tefillah. And I think, therefore, this is what we have to explain tonight, and the answer is very simple. What is the basic hashkafa, the outlook of life of Amalek? Everything is mikra. What does mikra mean? Happenstance. Everything just occurs. Nothing is controlled. Nothing is divinely ordained. It's all a mikra. In fact, if you look in Parshas Ki Tse, what does it say? It doesn't say that Amalek came to do battle with Klal Yisrael. What does it say? Asher Korucho Baderech. What does Korucho mean? Mikra. They just sort of chanced upon them, as it were. And of course, there could be no greater example. How did Haman decide which day he's going to battle against Klal Yisrael? Lottery. Purim. Goyrel. Why is the whole Yom Tov named after the Purim? Because that, in a nutshell, is in fact a summary of the entire outlook of Amalek. It's all Purim. It's all a lottery. It's all just luck of the draw. It's all Asher Korucho. You see the staggering chain of events. You couldn't have scripted a better story than the Purim story. Haman is trying to bring about the downfall of Mordechai. And an incredible turn of events, what happens? Mordechai finds himself being paraded around town amidst pomp and circumstance, taken by Haman. Who wouldn't see the Yad Hashem in that? You know who didn't see the Yad Hashem? Haman. Because what does it say in the next pasuk? It says he came home, Vayisaper Haman Zeresh Ishto. And Haman tells his wife and all his friends, Kol Asher Korohu. Everything that had just happened. Through a remarkable chain of events, coincidentally, at the very time that I was trying to bring about the downfall of Mordechai, I in fact promoted his great glory. And how does he refer to that? Korohu. It just happened. In other words, Amalek do not deny that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. They deny that He runs the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, 6 days of creation, and then, as it were, left the scene. After that, everything is just mikra. Everything just happens. Listen now to the most phenomenal gematria. We all like a good gematria. This is a very simple gematria, but it has, I think, incredible meaning. Incredible meaning. We all know the pasuk that we say every Rosh Chodesh, every time we say Hallel. Rom al kol goyim Hashem al hashomayim kevoide. Mi kashem elokeinu Hamashpili lirois bashomayim ubaaretz. Let's say that pasuk again. Rom al kol goyim, lofty, lofty above all the nations, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory in Shomayim. Who is like our God who lowers himself from Shomayim to Oretz? Do you know what the Malbim says there? Rom al kol goyim. Do you know how the goyim view HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rom. What does Rom mean? Elevated existence, nothing to do with our day-to-day life. He's not running our day-to-day life. He's somewhere up there in the clouds, in the heavens, not involved. That's the goyim's that's the goyim's outlook. The pasuk says, Rishis goyim amalek. That indeed is amalek's outlook. Amalek's outlook is what? Rom. Kadosh Baruch Hu exists. Where? Alashomayim kavoidei. He's over there. He's just not here. He's not involved in our day-to-day life. He's not mashkiach min achalonis. There's no hashkocha. He's not controlling events. So how do we respond to that? Mi kashem elokeinu. Do you know how we view HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hamashvili lirois bashomayim uba oretz. We believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shomayim. Of course he's lofty, but he's running everything that exists here but Oretz as well. That is really the hashkafa of Amalek. So here comes the gematria. Very simple gematria. What's the gematria of Amalek? Any mathematicians in the room? Ayin, Mem, Lamed, Kuf. Ayin is 70, plus Mem is 40 is 110, plus Lamed is 30 is 140, plus Kuf is 100, 240, exactly the gematria of Rom. Rom, 240. Because that is Amalek's whole outlook. Amalek's whole outlook is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rom. Lofty. He has no control of what happens over here. Everything here is just total random. There's no rhyme, there's no reason, there's no Seder, there's no control. There's another word which has the gematria 240. Sophic. Samach is 60, Pei is 80, it's 140, plus Kuf is 240. That's again a Amalek. Everything's a Sophic. There's no order. There's no divine plan. It's all a doubt. It's all a lottery. It's all completely at random. That is a Amalek's outlook in life. So doesn't it make sense, therefore, as we began tonight? What happens in the Amalek story? Klal Yisrael are worried that there's no water. So what do they say? They utter these very dangerous, terrible words. Ha'im yesh Hashem b'kirbeinu? Ha'yesh Hashem b'kirbeinu? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu amongst us? What do you mean by that? In other words, what are you saying? That where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's not b'kirbeinu. What is b'kirbeinu? From the word karev. He's not close to us. Where is he? Lofty somewhere. It doesn't say that Klal Yisrael denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. It doesn't say Hayesh Hashem. It says Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. Is he down here with us? What's the next words in the Torah? Vayovei Amalek. If that's how you talk, if that's how you look at the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you're questioning his existence over here b'kirbeinu, you don't really believe Hamashpili Lirois Bashomayim Ubaoretz, and I'm sorry to tell you, you're no different to Amalek. So you better learn the hard way. Vayavi Amalek. If you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Rom, there's no Sophic, he's Hamashpili Lirois Bashomayim Ubaoretz, then you'd be in better shape. But if you say those words, Hashem, is he really Bekirbeinu? Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Im Ayin? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Korev? Is he close to us? Is he involved in our day-to-day life? That sounds far, far too Amalek-like. Indeed, Vayavei Amalek. I once heard from a very Choshev Rav, used to live in London, now he lives in Manchester, of Pinchas Roberts Shlita, and he said the following. We're going to read in Mitzvah Hashem in 3 weeks' time in Parashas Truma all about the construction of the Mishkan. Why do we have to build a Mishkan? So the Medrash in Parashas Truma tells us the famous Moshel. The Medrash says there was once a king who has an only daughter, and she gets married. And the king, on the one hand, is of course thrilled and delighted that his only daughter is now about to set up her own home. But of course, at the same time, she's now leaving home. So he says to her, please do me a favor. Wherever you live, wherever you build your home, listen to the words, Bayis Echad Asuli. Make one room for me, She'odur Besoichai, that I can always come and stay. She'odur Besoichai, says the Medrash, that's what it means, V'osuli Mikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel says to us, just build a place for me too. Says the very first Gera Rebbe. Who was the first Gera Rebbe? The Chiddush Harim. Says the Chiddush Harim, do you know when Parashas Truma always falls out? At the beginning of which month? Chiddush Adar. Says the Chiddush Harim, that is hinted to in the Medrash, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, build me a room, She'odur B'Seichai, that I will reside in. Odur Adar. Is that a play on words? Odur, Ador, letter missing, letter added. So he explained Rav Roberts so simply and so beautifully. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to construct a Mishkan, what is the message that we learn from there? V'asuli Mikdosh, V'shochanti, V'seichem, I'll be residing here. Ah, here. Here. Not in Shomayim only. Not wrong. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, build me a Mishkan and understand that the divine presence can exist here in the Oretz as well, not just Bashomayim. That's what Chodesh Adar and Purim is all about. So it's not just a play on words. Odur, Adar, that is the essence of Chodesh Adar. The essence of Chodesh Adar is the defeating of Amalek, but more importantly, the destruction of the Hashkafa of Amalek. How do we destroy the Hashkafa of Amalek? By building a Mishkan. Amalek could never build a Mishkan or a Beis HaMikdash. Why not? Because who are you building it for? Kadosh Baruch Hu? Sorry, you've got the wrong address. He's not here. He's Bashomayim. If you build a Beis HaMikdash, what are you clearly displaying? That we are eradicating the outlook and Hashkafa of Amalek. And indeed, Klal Yisrael are told, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, that when they come to Eretz Yisrael, what's the first thing they have to do? Appoint a Melech and fight against Amalek. Next, build a Beis HaMikdash. Why that order? Because as long as Amalek are around, you can't have a Beis HaMikdash. Those two are antithetical. Amalek is here telling the world that it's all a Mikra. It's all Sophic. It's all Rom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is somewhere Bashamayim. He has no connection to us. So first we have to defeat Amalek, and then, and only then, can we build a Beis HaMikdash in which we believe B'Shochanti B'Seichem. So if we come back to how we started, we said, it seems rather interesting that twice, both Amalek first time round, and also Amalek second time round, how are they defeated? Through the koyach of tefillah. What is tefillah? What is the yisayid of tefillah? Tefillah is the ultimate expression of emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is controlling everything that happens to me. That's why he's my address. If you thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was wrong and not involved in your day-to-day life, then why are you davening to him? Why are you talking to him? You don't believe he has any control over here, Ba'olam Hazeh. He's in Shemayim, he's wrong, he's lofty, he's disconnected, he's not involved in my day-to-day life. Therefore it makes so much sense that how did Klal Yisrael in our parasha, and how did Klal Yisrael at the time of the Purim story, how did they defeat Amalek? Only through the koyach of tefillah. When you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you raise your hands up from the Oretz,
up to the Shomayim, what are you really demonstrating? That I believe. Mi kashem Elokeinu hamashpili lirois bashomayim uba'aretz. I believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bashomayim, but also ba'aretz. And that's why I'm turning to him. Because if I didn't believe that, sorry, you're talking to the wrong person, to the wrong koyach, to the wrong melech, kaviyachol. It's only because you have an emunah shleimo that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in our day-to-day life, that's why I'm davening to him. Imagine, Rahman al-Islam, somebody is sick. He needs to undergo an emergency operation. He has to go and seek advice. He wouldn't go and speak to an architect. He doesn't go and talk to a plumber. He's not involved. He knows nothing about it. Go and speak to somebody who can do something about it. Go and speak to a surgeon. He can get involved. So you only talk to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam if you truly believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved, and not just involved. He is in fact the controller. He's Manahel, he's Mechaven, he's the Mashiach of everything that happens in my day-to-day life. Just to finish this off, how beautiful it is. How beautiful it is that there's a Medrash which I think really encapsulates everything we've said. When it says in the Medrash that the elders and the wise men of the Goyim, they turned round to Achashverosh and they said, you know, Korov Hashem l'chol koyrov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to all those who call out to him. V'ein uma krov al HaKadosh Baruch Hu elo Yisrael. There is no nation closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the Jews. Do you know why? Listen to the words and see how that mirrors the pasuk that we quoted. They said because they believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Shalit. The Shalit. What does the Shalit mean? The ruler. Ba'elyoinim ubetachtoinim. I.e. Bashomayim uba'aretz. Even the Goyim understood that eventually. Therefore, it makes very, very good sense. If you want to celebrate Purim, what's the introduction to that? Erev Purim has to be a day of tefillah. Like we said, it's different to other fasts. It's a day in which we are mechazik the inyan of tefillah. That way we can celebrate the defeat of Amalek. Because it was precisely through the koyach of tefillah, through that recognition, that we live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not just a lofty existence with no connection to us, to the contrary. He is governing every move, every etzpa, as the Gemara says, which is not, is all nigzar milamala. There's nothing that happens to us which isn't decreed by Shomayim. So we have a day in which we mechazik that belief, that's Tanis Esther, and then we can proceed with Purim. But it makes no sense to celebrate the defeat of Amalek if, to be honest, maybe there's a piece of Amalek inside of us. So we have a day of tefillah. We have a day of tefillah first. You know, the story is told, maybe it's a joke, probably is a joke, but a lot of jokes have MS in them. The joke or the story is told about the businessman who has a major, major meeting in the middle of town with fellow businessmen, and he knows as if meeting goes to plan, he can make millions of dollars and he'll be made for life. The meeting is at 9 o'clock sharp. 9 o'clock sharp. He's there in plenty of time. He drives to the hotel where this meeting is supposed to take place, but he can't find a parking space. It's 10 to 9. It's getting close. And he's driving round and round and round and round and round the block. Every parking space. It's 9:55, 8:56, 7, 8, 9. It's a minute to go. He realizes if he misses his meeting, that could be millions of dollars out the window. And he turns up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, please, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just help me. Help me find a parking space. If you help me find a parking space and this meeting goes to plan and I'll make millions, I'll give money to shuls and yeshivas and kollelim and almonas and yisrael, everything you want. At that very moment, a car right in front of the hotel pulls out and he finds his parking space. And he looks up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, it's okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the end, I sorted myself out. How much bitter MS there is in that joke. I managed without HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the end. I was just fine. A car miraculously, Mikra. Would you believe it? Just when I needed, a car pulled out and I found a parking space. That's a Molech. If you turned round to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, surely that showed that you do believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. So why, when all of a sudden it worked out for you, did you forget the Ribbono Shel Olam? It's okay, I managed on my own. The story is told too. Again, it's a joke, but many jokes have Musa. When this fellow comes to his Rav and he says, you know, Harav, I must tell you, I had a dream last night in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to me. Very impressive, says the Rav. Very impressive. Incredible. Clearly that shows, says the Rav, that you must be thinking during the day about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the person says to the Rav, I appreciate your chizuk and your compliment, but I must be honest, I don't really think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all during the day. Says the Rav, what do you mean? Chazal tell us that what you think about during the day is what you dream about at night. So if you dreamed about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the night, obviously you did think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the day. And the fellow says, again, I can't thank you enough. I don't think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I would love to, I don't have time. I don't have a minute spare. He says, what do you mean to have a minute spare? Let me hear your day-to-day schedule, your Seder Hayyim. He says, I'll tell you. I get up in the morning, 7 o'clock, I have shachris, I have a chavrusa immediately afterwards, till 8:30. A quick breakfast, I have morning seder at 9 o'clock till 1, then I have mincha, after mincha I have another chavrusa, quick nap, I have afternoon seder, then I have maariv, then I have another chavrusa, after night seder, another chavrusa, and that's my day. I don't have a minute to think about the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Rav says, you're davening and you're learning all day. Ashrei chelkecha. He says, I know, but I'm so busy doing it, I don't have time to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the bitter reality. That even whilst we're davening sometimes, whilst we're learning, rather than appreciating, that is the ultimate connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are we davening? Why are we turning around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if we didn't believe that He was involved in our day-to-day life? And yet, there could really exist this existence which a person davens three times a day and says, but I don't have time to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why not? Because I'm too busy davening to Him. That ultimately is an expression, is a reincarnation of the expression of Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu. Do you really believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in your day-to-day life? Because if you really did, then what do you mean? You're too busy to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in every aspect. Every breath, kol neshima u neshima. Therefore, the avoida of this parasha is to teach us that if chas v'shalom we have that little doubt in our mind, conscious or otherwise, Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu in ayin, that we need to know the next words are Vayavo Yamolik, because then we know better than them. When we daven, however, if it is done with sincerity, we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'emunah u'bekavonah ba'avodas halev, that really is the expression of the opposite of Amolik. That we show and we believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not wrong. He's not a lofty existence, Bashomayim Kavoidoi. Rather, it is a solid expression and a firm declaration in which we announce to ourselves, Mi Kashem Elokeinu Hamashpili Lirois, where not only Bashomayim, but also Barnes. Oh, yeah.